Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Conversation between Narada and Vyas, text number 11. Spitan Janapadangs Tatra Pura Grama Rajakaran Keta Karvata Vatish Cha Vanani Upavanani Cha Spitan Janapadangs Tatra Pura Grama Vrajakaran Keta Karvata Vatischa Vananyupa Vananicha Spitan Janapadangs Tatra Pura Grama Vrajakaran Keta Karvata Vatischa Vananyupa Vananicha Spitan Janapadangs Tatra Pura Grama Vrajakaran Keta Karvata Vatischa Vananyupa Vananicha. Please chant. Spitan Janapadang Statra Pura Grama Vrajakaran Keta Karvata Vatisha Vananyu Pavananicha Spitan Janavatan Satra Pura Grama Vrajakaran Keta Kurvata Vatisha Vananyupavananicha Spitan Janapadasya Pura Grama Vrajakaran Keta Varagata Vadishya Ananyinyu Pavananicha Spitan Janapadasya Tatra Pura Grama Vrajakaran Keta Bhagavata Dhanasha Ananyupa Vananishpa Spita Janapadans Tatra Pura Grama Vrajakaran Keta Bharata Vatisha Pananyu Pavananisha.
Mothers, Matajis.
Pura Grama Vrajakaram Keta Karvata Vatisha Pananyu Pavananicha
Spitan, very flourishing. Janapadan, metropolises. Tatra, there. Pura, towns. Grama, villages. Vraja, big farms. Akaran, mineral fields, mines. Keta, agricultural lands. Karvata, valleys. Vati, flower gardens. Cha, and Vanani, forests. Upavanani, nursery gardens. Cha and translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After my departure, I passed through many flourishing metropolises, towns, villages, animal farms, mines, agricultural lands, valleys, flower gardens, nursery gardens, and natural forests. Purport. Man's activities in agriculture, mining, farming, industries, gardening, etc., were all on the same scale as they are now, even previous to the present creation, and the same activities will remain as they are, even in the next creation. After many hundreds and millions of years, one creation is started by the law of nature, and the history of the universe repeats itself practically in the same way. The mundane wranglers waste time with archaeological excavations without searching into the vital necessities of life. After getting an impetus in spiritual life, Sri Narada Muni, even though a mere child, did not waste time for a single moment with economic development, although he passed towns and villages, mines and industries. He continually went on to progressive spiritual emancipation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the repetition of history which happened some hundreds of millions of years ago. As it was said herein before, only the most important factors of history are picked up to be recorded in this transcendental literature. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Ena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Vanchakaparivishcha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So it's interesting, Narada Muni, he's traveling through all these different places with all these activities of agriculture, mining, farming, industries, gardening, etc. And I'm sure he's seen many different kinds of characters, many materially attached personalities who have families, houses, you know, homes, nice societies. But he never became entangled in, you know, in material development, economic development, finding you know, nice wife, having nice home, children, so forth. He had completely been purified by the association of these great sages. Once I heard a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and in that lecture there was a boy in the lecture, and Prabhupada was saying, "Come here, boy. Come here." Anyone hear that lecture? "Come here, boy." And he's wanting to give the boy like a sweet or a cookie, or how Prabhupada usually gave at the end of his lectures, distribute some prasadam. So you can imagine Narada Muni in the presence of those great saintly persons that he had associated. "Come here, boy. Come take this remnant of, you know, giving nice prasadam to the little boy," or, you know, patting the little boy on the head. And, you know, how they say the pure devotees, prema bhakti ya hoiti avidya vinasha chate, you know, the ecstatic prema emanates. So this little boy is always in that nice association, you know, patting. You can imagine, you know, you're getting patted on the head. You know, you see the children, they're so cute, they're so pure, and they're, you know, and they reciprocate so nicely with your affection. So these pure devotees with, you know, emanating love for Krishna and, you know, love for all humanity and so much compassion. This boy is, he's getting all of this from these great sages and these in that great association, great assembly of saintly persons, taking their remnant and hearing what they have to say. So Narada Muni, being it's natural, if you're in that association, you're going to develop an affinity for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, I mean, when we were in Prabhupada's association, we always used to, you know, like to go there and see how I was going to be influenced, you know, by what, how he looked. Once I gave Srila Prabhupada a garland, and, you know, he turned to me with this smile that was just an overwhelmingly affectionate smile. It just, you know, it blows you away. So this is the influence that Narada Muni had come into, you know, association with. And so it had naturally, that association had awakened his faith or his affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So much so that he was not at all attracted to develop in material life. And he just went on, as Prabhupada says in the purport, to make further progress in spiritual emancipation. So it's interesting how our philosophy, the Prabhupada sometimes, in one lecture I heard also, where Srila Prabhupada said how material life you cannot improve. I mean, we seemingly, you know, understand that, you know, you go to college, you know, you can get a good job, you can, you know, make good money, you can get a home. It seems like an improvement. No, doesn't it seem like you're not going to, how are you going to improve your life if you don't get a job? How are you going to, you know, this is the propaganda, you know, the message that we get from our teachers and our parents. You know, you got to get good grades. You know, how are you going to go to college? How are you going to improve your life? But Srila Prabhupada says you cannot improve your material life. So how is that explained? Because our material life is dependent upon what we did in our previous life. What pious activities, like Prabhupada used to say, these, like Bill Gates and Rockefellers, these men, these so-called successful materialists, they had done great austerities in their previous life to gain all of the gains and successes and honor and everything that they achieve in this life. But it's not due to, you know, these guys, they write books, right? How to become successful. They have, what do you call those, guys, speakers, motivational speakers, you know, how to get yourself going, this, that, the other. It's like all this useless things because, you know, they think they're going to improve their material life. But Prabhupada said it's already fixed up by destiny, your material life. You can't improve it. If you're going to be holding a sign on the street, please help, hungry, no food, no job, veteran, or, you know, I'm homeless. Or if you're going to be, you know, sitting in a big dining table with silverware and this is all fixed up by destiny. It's all fate, you know. It's all due to last life's pious or impious activities. You can't blame anyone but yourself for your successes or your failures. You know, it's all fixed up. You're gonna be, you know, trampled, or you're gonna be, you know, the Lord of all you survey, thinking you're the Lord of all you survey. But it's all fixed up by destiny. You can't change it. But spiritual life, like Narada Muni states here, that he's a progressive. This is the only, Prabhupada said like that, your spiritual life you can improve, but material life is just fixed by destiny. So spiritual life improves. But what is this spiritual life? You know, this, what improves, what expands, you know. So this is the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated in the first canto that you have to develop an affinity, you know, for hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have to hear. Why do you hear? So you can develop your faith, or this faith is like the beginning of your affection, your affinity, your liking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is what's important, because this improves. First, you know, you might have some, you know, some amity or some regard for God. You know, this regard it further develops. So, you know, you develop some, like, respect for Krishna, you know, and you want to, maybe you feel some closeness, and you feel, you know, Krishna's presence, and you can begin to meditate. And so that's what improves in your spiritual life, is this affection for Krishna. And this is the faith, or that shraddha that you develop. And that shraddha, that is another synonym of affection for the Personality of Godhead. Don't think of these words. You got to find out, you know, what is the sentiment or the feeling of these, you know, these words that we use in relation to the Personality of God. So this faith, this beginning of the love of God, it's powerful. You know, they say in the Bible, you know, or in other places, you know, with a little faith, just little faith, you can move mountains of material difficulty. So this is that love of Krishna. And if you know, we're chanting our japa every day, but, you know, we want to put our attention, you know, it's recommended chant attentively. It's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. So if you're inattentive, means, you know, and you can't just be, you know, fix your mind. You know, you want to fix your mind, you know. But, you know, if you're just fixing your mind, and, you know, the mind, what is this mind? It's just another miserable material element. You know, along with all the other earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. These are all miserable material elements. The living entity is locked in misery. And it's dark. It's very scary, this material life, this material. You know, if you go into a dark room, you don't know where anything is. You're going to stumble. You're going to trip, fall, bump your head, maybe even get seriously injured, you know, trying to stumble around in a dark place. Very scary. So that's what this field of this body, made of, you know, five senses, five working senses, five knowledge acquiring senses, and the, you know, made up of earth, fire, water, air, you know, it's this miserable thing, and it's dark. Yesterday I was unscrewing Prajapati's toilet, and so I couldn't see under, so I was kind of closing my eyes, and when I closed my eyes, like, you know, everything's dark, you know, and I started to feel a little fearful, you know, remembering that it's a dark place, this material world is fearful. So I closed my eyes, oh, that feels kind of weird, you know, a little fearful, don't know what the heck, you know, you're looking at things. So fearful. These material elements are fearful. So if we chant, you know, we just want to use our mind and just use the ear and try to hear. You know, it's like nirvishesha shunyavada, you know, voidism, impersonalism. And you don't get any result. You just remain frustrated because it's the nature of this material world. It just locks you down and into frustration. And then you get further locked down into, you know, the anger and the lust and the greed and your envy, and you're just helpless. Yeah. So how do you get out of it, you know? So chanting japa in the morning, we can't just be attentive. You have to apply, you know, your affection to that chanting. And that then the chanting becomes fruitful. And it begins to fructify, and you know, pretty soon, you know, prema bhakti yaha hoiti avijja vinasha chate, you know, you're emanating love of God everywhere. So if we're not chanting with affection, then, and we're, you know, becoming frustrated because just dealing, try to focus the ear, focus the eye on the deity, you know, it's like Prabhupada pointed his finger at me one time, what can you understand with those eyes? So many times we hear lectures, you know, so proud of these eyes, you know, these little, tiny little holes in the this lump of flesh that's letting these objects of the senses in, and we're looking, intelligence is discriminating, fault-finding, yeah, that guy's weird, or this guy's like that, or this, this, that, there's so many, you know. But how do you become averse to, like Krishna says, when you become averse to fault-finding, you know, these guys, they're dear to me, you're averse. You don't see this, you know. So the living entity in this material body, you know, inferior nature, is like he's a miserable tabernacle, a miserable temple. You know, the body is the temple, whereas that dang temple is a miserable dang thing. You know, so the living entity, he has to figure out how to get out. And the living entity's affinity, affection, friendliness, intimacy with the Supreme Lord is comatose. It's comatose. It's like locked down. It's like locked in the mind, locked in the brain. All these elements are just, the living entity's affection for the Lord is comatose. So Prabhupada means when he says comatose, no love. You know, in this material world, a lot of comatose people, you know, psychos they call them, you know, they're all mental psychos, you know, and they're so wrapped up in, you know, Prahlad Maharaj, Nate Vidu Svartagatim Hivishnu, you know, Durasa, you know, they're materialists, they're locked up and they're all blind and they're leading each other around, you know, all falling in the ditch, you know, falling into this, into the bindings of the modes of material nature. And they can't, they don't understand that the object of life is to get out. You know, Nate Vidu Svartagatim Hivishnu, the goal of life is Vishnu. But not just the goal is Vishnu, the goal of life is to love Vishnu. The goal of life is to love Krishna. The goal of life is to develop that affection for Krishna's pastimes, his paraphernalia, his entourage, his everything. You know. So we have like here, Narada Muni, he didn't waste time, you know, misplacing is like how, you know, Rupa Goswami misplaced affection. He didn't waste time misplacing his affection in home, country, society, you know, making money, this, that, you know, didn't waste his time. He spent his time absorbing his affection. Like in the Manmana Bhava Madbhakta verse, you know, there's a word there, Yuktavaivam. You have to absorb, become absorbed. And this mind, these blunt material senses, cannot absorb in Krishna. They cannot. They don't enter. They have to become spiritualized. What does spiritualized mean? They got to become full of affection for the personality of God. That's spiritual life. Loving Krishna. That's living. Otherwise, comatose, dead, zombie, you know. So this affection, it grows. It's the bhakti, you know, the seed of bhakti, the seed of love for God. It grows. And you have to nurture it by, you know, hearing, you know, of course, submissively and with an attitude of surrender. Krishna, you know my protector. Dependence on the personality of Godhead, you know. But that affection has to be there. That developing, you know, adoring Krishna like Lord Brahma, you know, and hearing, you know, Lord Brahma he's infused with love of God, and he writes this wonderful, you know, Brahma Samhita, you know. So it cannot be like, you know, there's so many people in this world. What's that famous scientist, English, little guy in a wheelchair? Can't remember his name. Hawkins, or whatever, like Hawkins. You know, this guy's ridiculous scientist, you know. Like Brahma Samhita describes Muni Pungavanam, you know, powerful thinkers, you know. You know, so this powerful thinking can't, you know, they... You know, what is it? Pantastukoti shatta vatsara sangpragamyo vayoratapi manaso. You know, manaso, they can travel by the speed of the mind. You know, vayoratapi, they can travel at the speed of the wind, speed of the mind. They're big, big thinkers, you know, muni pungavanam, powerful thinkers. But they can't, I was going to look the verse up this morning and refresh my mind, but they, I don't know if they cannot even catch a glimpse of the tip of the toe, or maybe they can catch a glimpse of only the tip of the toe of Lord Govinda. You know, so like you can't, this mind, all these things, you know, powerful thinking. You got to have like intelligence, you know, memory. That's one of the characteristics of intelligence. So we like memory, because with memory you can remember Krishna. Like the number one rule that Lord Chaitanya expounds to Sanatana Goswami from the Padma Purana, you know. Smartavya Satatang Vishnur, you know. Smartavya. Remember, you know, always Satatang, always remember Krishna. You know. But you cannot just remember if you know, you have to use spiritual intelligence. You know, material intelligence is memory. But spiritual intelligence is a loving memory, an affectionate memory, a friendly memory. You know, it's surcharged with, warmth and amity. You know, this for the personality of God. That's spiritual intelligence. So if you're remembering, and then you have some affection in there. Otherwise, material intelligence will lock down your affection for the Lord. And your mind, material mind. What is the mind? Accepting and rejecting. That's the only function of the mind. Determination and rejection. You know. So this determination and rejection, you know, is this material mind. If there's no affection there, I mean, you're supposed to accept what is favorable for devotional service and reject what is unfavorable. But you have to like it. You know, you have to like, you know, this acceptance. You have to have some, some devotion in that acceptance. You know, you got to have some affection. As you know, accepting, make spiritualize the mind, and that way you can make progress. You know, with that love of Krishna, that's how we make progress. It's not like how Prabhupada said, this chant is not an artificial imposition of the mind. This loving propensity is a liberating, it's a seed that liberates us from this miserable body. So once we develop and learn how to apply, you know, in our attention, you're chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, when we apply that affection to that, you know, we might be animate in so many different ways as we chant. You know, you watch in the morning, so many people chant different ways. Some people walk, some people sit, some people head banging when they're chanting, and so many different ways to, you know, apply your attention. You know, some people are, you know, like, you know, moving your arms, punching in the air, and trying to, you know, focus in so many ways. But it just have a little love in that focus. Just find somewhere in that brain, you know, we're trying to put this brain on the mantra, you know, trying to control and wrap our head around it, you know. But it just takes a little affection to wrap around it. That's how we're going to wrap around. It's not, you know, you're going to force these life airs and these things. You're just going to break your blood vessels, you know. You're not going to, you know, get anything out of it but frustration. But it just takes a little affection. That's the key for entering. That's the key for expanding your consciousness. Consciousness means affection, means love. So that's how it expands. You have to apply it. How Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada translated, you have to repose. You know, you have to focus that affection. You got to pull it out of that, you know, this mechanism of Maya that, you know, just frustrates the living entity. And then as you focus your affection, then, oh, what a relief. You know how they say bhakti, you get immediate relief from material misery. And it's all auspicious. What is auspicious? Auspicious means it's beneficial to all humanity. It's beneficial to your wife, to your children, to your neighbors, your country. Like Prabhupada said, become Krishna conscious and help your country. But if we're not applying our affection in the whole process, we're not going to become Krishna conscious. We're going to remain comatose. And what are we going to be? We're going to be adibautic. We're going to be just causing annoying other living entities. It is going to cause misery to other living entities. Who wants to be adibautic, you know, or adiatmic, you know, big forces of nature causing so much distress, adidaivic and adiatmic, you know, and then miseries on our own mind and body. Because why? Because we're not applying our affection. We're misplacing it in what the senses want, you know, what the senses dictate, you know, what sense objects dictate. Then we miss the whole fun of enthusiasm and strength. You know, we just become weak fools, you know, durasayo, you know. And so we have to very carefully find that. That's internal strength. Even in martial arts, kung fu, sure those guys, they all know me a long time ago doing kung fu and everything. They teach the same thing. They say, through your hands, you have to apply your affection in your hands to the personality of Godhead. And when you do that, you surrender, you relax, you know, your strength. The more you surrender, the more strength you get. Ye yatam ang prapadyante. You know, as you surrender, the more you are rewarded. But you can't just, you know, okay, Krishna, take me. You have to apply your adoration, you know, to Krishna. You know, you have to apply your affection. You have to apply it. That's what you have to use. When Prabhupada says use your intelligence, he means, you know, you use your the affection that's there in that intelligence of remembering Krishna, then you can soar. You can, you know, George Harrison, you can take these broken wings and you can learn to fly, you know, with just a little affection. That's all it takes. It's not difficult. The prophet said it's not a difficult process. But in this material world, you can see, you know, people hating each other, you know, ISIS moving in, raping, cutting heads, and there's so much hatred for life. You know, because so much Mayavadi and impersonalism, what do they say? It's Maya to love. You know, it's Maya. We've got to cancel this loving thing and become void and impersonal. You know. Everybody's embarrassed by love because all their affection is all rooted in genital, in the sex life. So they, you know, love somebody, ooh, it's kind of, man, it's kind of feels weird, man, you know. You know, it's embarrassing. Oh, but you know, you got love in your brain. You know, you can use your. You know, people say use your brain. You know, you can take that affection out of your brain and put it. You know, from the brain, you become very influential. You know, my mother always used to say, "Oh, no loss, no love lost." I used to think, "What does that mean? No love lost?" You know, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, these demons, they become lost to themselves. Their affection is lost. They just get covered over. Then they become demons, real, you know, Chobundi and you know, these crazy ISIS guys in the Middle East. You know, they become all crazy psychos, you know, serial killers, you know, or just, you know, usurp somebody's land or, you know, hurt little children. And incredible. It's because people don't know the art of, you know, submissive hearing, submissive affectionate hearing. You have to, let's say, you have to apply your affection to the process, or if you don't, it's useless. Nothing happens. You wonder why I'm chanting all these years, nothing's happening. I used to think the same thing. The one day it dawned on me, say, let me try apply my affection to this Hare Krishna mantra, or apply my affection in my service, you know. I had to learn from the Kung Fu teacher. Apply your affection that's in your hands. Forget about the rest of your body. Then I could control my senses. I started feeling enthusiastic. I started feeling, you know, some strength, some knowledge, some, you know, and then you, anyway, so like that is this very important. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. I like what you had to say. Here's my concern, okay? Yesterday I was listening to Prabhupada, it was in New Vrindavan, and he gave a class, or was it like a conversation, and at the end, Prajumna asked some question about, started asking a question about developing, you know, bhava or prema, and Prabhupada cut him off and said, don't talk about that. He said, first, you know, before you even think about that, just don't worry about that. Nartha Nivritti. He said, first deal with anartha. When you get through anartha nivritti, then those things happen, boom, 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 like that. He said, first, but initially it's a struggle, you know, in that stage, and then those other things will follow automatically. So, you know, when I hear what you're saying, I'm a little bit of me, and it could be just my own misunderstanding of, you know, exactly what you're trying to say. A little uncomfortable, uneasiness comes in there, because you don't can't be artificial. My understanding is that you do just try to hear. You engage in the process, and you get purified by engaging in the process, by chanting with attention, and then no separate effort has to be made to develop affection, which is like a composite of a lot of other things, such as, you know, respect, appreciation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It comes automatically. It's not something you have to really try to, you know, culture or, you know, impose. It's kind of, I got, you know, scared. Not, you only know we're near it, but, you know, sahaja kind of thing. I thought, well, sahaja, wait a second.
Sahaja, they have affection, but they're not following any rules or regulations. It's like a material affection.
Yeah.
And they have some symptoms. You know, sometimes they can make their eyes cry. I remember one man, he was kind of a perverted man. He was one of my landlords. And he goes, can you do this, you know? And he would make all his hair stand on end, you know. And he was very lusty. So the material affection, like I say, even on the material level, this affection, people know how to manipulate their affection in order to gain influence, gain power, or, you know, make themselves feel good, or so on. But as you were saying, you know, anartha nivriti this, that, you know. But the first thing is shraddha. What is this faith? Shraddha is the first thing, and that faith is affection. That's what faith is. You have faith in something. It means you kind of love it. You kind of like it. You have some fondness for it. That's the first thing is shraddha. You have to apply that faith. So like, you know, when you have implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, all the imports of the Vedas are, without this love, without that faith, it's going to be very difficult. You have to have that faith. How are you going to give up? How are you going to go to anartha nivriti? How are you going to give up anything if you have no affection for something of greater value? So that shraddha is the first thing. And Prabhupada describes that shraddha as when someone comes to the temple and they see, oh, like my mother, she used to come to the temple and she said, oh, the deities are so beautiful. Prabhupada said that appreciation, that's the beginning of faith. That's the beginning of affection for Krishna. And you have to have that from the beginning. Why are we here? Because we like something about this. And that's what has to be cultivated. That faith has to develop to become fixed faith. Okay.
But is the cultivation of that anything other than just strictly following the rules and regulations? Like, I agree with you, okay? You know, you have like an affection, an appreciation. I prefer that word, okay, appreciation. Yeah. And then you just, like, I like listening to Prabhupada. Even, you know, I can be in any kind of mood. I'll just start listening to Prabhupada speak, lecture, morning walk conversation, whatever. And I just start feeling, yeah, this Prabhupada knows what he's talking about. You know, I just, I feel like a spontaneous appreciation for Prabhupada's intelligence and his purity, his sincerity like that. But so beyond that, isn't it just I just have to follow the instructions, try to follow, you know, show up for the program, do my service, and then affection will develop without any separate effort from myself.
Rupa Goswami, you have to make some effort. You have to repose it. You know, they say repose your love. That's something you have to do. Or else your affection is just going to go die someplace. If you're not applying it, it's going to die.
I'll give somebody else a chance to say something. I'm saying that I don't think you have to make any separate effort to develop affection. My understanding has always been that you just hear and chant attentively, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sabhu Kabhinaya Shravanadi Sutta Chitta Koya Dada. You know, you just do the process and that love of Krishna is lying dormant within the heart of every living entity. Without any separate effort, just following the process carefully and sincerely, you're going to, that natural affection for Krishna, for the devotees, it will automatically awaken without trying to artificially or make, you know, any separate effort otherwise.
Well, it seems to me like you're talking about that formula. So part of that formula is association. You know, by bad association, you become a demon. Even if you're a devotee, if you give up the association of devotees, you'll become a demon because you'll associate with demons. So association is very important for development of love or understanding what love is. Otherwise it's sentiment. Because there's a lot of sentimental people in the world. And a lot of them think that they do philanthropic work, that they really love, that they love someone. So they'll give someone a quarter, they'll give someone $5 million. And they think that's love. So the association of devotees means you learn what love is, because we don't really know. Until we met Srila Prabhupada, we had no idea what love was. We thought philanthropic work was love. You know what I'm saying? That's what people do. There's a very rare person that becomes a devotee. There's a difference between a devotee and a person who is a philanthropist. A devotee is surrendered to Krishna. So how is he surrendering? By performing austerity and sacrifices, by association. And by all those activities, one develops the understanding of love. And Prabhupada says the highest love in the material world is a mundane example, but that is of the mother loving the child. The mother will give her life up for the child because she loves the child. And she'll do anything she possibly can. So you and I, we can't have a baby. You know, I mean, you know, we're not a mother, we're a father. So how can we understand the feelings or the love of a mother for the child? Very difficult. But we can learn the art of loving God by the association of a pure devotee of the Lord. Then we learn what love really is. It's selfless, unmotivated, uninterrupted. And then we make progress in spiritual life. Otherwise, it's all sentiment. It becomes sentiment. And then, of course, there has to be some kind of philosophy. There has to be a philosophy to achieve love of Godhead. We have to follow that philosophy. And in that philosophy, there's a lot of things that you're requested to do that you don't like. And number one is you're not that body. Who wants to believe that we're not the body? That's phenomenal. That's credible. Everybody thinks of their body. We think even though so many years, we still think we're this body. And so that's number one. You know. So how do you get rid of the bodily concept of life? By performing austerity, sacrifices, the instruction of the spiritual master, association of devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, take Krishna Prasadam, worship the deity. There's so many austerities and things. And then love really develops. And I think what Sri Raghu was saying is very important, that nishta, faith is there, right? In the beginning, you have to have some kind of faith. But it's developed into nishta, firm. And so we may have a little bit of love. It's sentimental. But association of pure devotees, following the process of Krishna consciousness, it becomes nishta. It becomes strong. It becomes powerful. And it's so strong and so powerful that somebody comes in association with that pure devotee of the Lord, they really get the understanding of what love is. You know, just how sometimes devotees get caught up, well, let's distribute, you know, food, and that's it. That's not enough. It's part of it, but it's not enough. They have to associate with devotees. They have to hear the science of Krishna consciousness. They have to perform some kind of austerity in order to develop real genuine love.
That's the one devotee.
Hare Bol Prabhu, thank you very much for giving class today. Wonderful class. I think your point was maybe a little bit not understood by Brigapati, because you started out by saying that you have to repose that affection in the name. Yeah, and the name is Krishna.
The name, the fame,
the
pastimes.
Yes, the name is Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna and his name. And it's a little bit, sorry Brigapati, but your statement sounds a little bit like impersonal. You just go through the process, but the whole thing is personally driven. We're supposed to be trying to reattach ourselves to the person God. Because a lot of us had some religious sentiment before we came to Christian consciousness. But it was in an impersonal way. God is just that impersonal order supplier in the sky. You tell him what you want and then you get it. So what Prabhupada did was focus that on the fact that God is a person. And through Prabhupada, the person, you get to God, the person. It's not just an impersonal following of rules and regulations and, you know, apply yourself to the process. It's a personal thing. And every one of us are here because of some personal connection. I got a book from a person, Brahmachari, on a street in New York in 1973. So when you see that, when you start to allow that personality to come through, then you can repose the affection properly. In the name, which is a person, in the guru is a person, and ultimately in God who is a person.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very kind. What Suvas Prabhu was noting about association of the devotees leads to what Archita Prabhu was saying, that association of the devotees teaches us to be personal. And we are inflicted with, as you said, Shunyavad and Nirvishesh. And through that association, we learn how to be personal. And I find it impossible to chant attentively and be without emotions, because I'm associating with Krishna, and Krishna is like the emblem of all attractiveness. How can you be attentive and not be like, not have emotions there if you are personal? You know, it's a matter of changing the focus from the mechanics into like the idea of having a personal relationship with Krishna. Then the emotions is natural.
Because we have to be able to express that love. You know, we have to, you know, we express it by offering flowers, by doing service, and by... It has to be expressed. You know, you have it, and you have to express it in order for it to increase more. You can't... Just like if you have a relationship with, you know, with anyone. You know, you have to know how to, you know, express it. But if we remain, you know, mental, or we remain just being intellectual, and we don't know how to, you know, never learn, you know, like Swaraj was saying, by associating with great Vaishnavas, you get that, you see how they, great devotees express their affection. You know, it's not covered over, it's not hidden, it's, you know, out there and being expressed. And so we have to be able to express, you know, express ourselves. It's part of being. It's a part of, you know, reposing our love, you know, misplacing it in the material nature is very dangerous. You know, take birth again. You know, it's just like if we put our love into our adoration, our distinction, you know, as being a lawyer or a president. Prabhupada said this is going to just... That affection for that is going to take you to another birth. But if we learn to take our affection and repose it in the Lord, then we become liberated. But it's an art that has to be learned. How to, you know, we can, you know, I'm just repeating what Rupa Goswami, we have to repose our affection. We have to focus the affection. We know how to focus our mind. You know, every day, you know, I remember chanting japa, and I'm trying to get my ear to hear, you know, you got to do different things. Guys cover their head, put a towel over, you know, something, just, you know, hold a picture in front of them to focus the mind. What is that? That's an artificial process. So why not just learn to dig out that affection that's somewhere stuck in this material thing, and take that and focus your affection. We focus everything else, you know. We meditate, contemplating objects of the senses, and becoming frustrated and angry. And so why not learn to repose affection? That way, everything takes place naturally. Everything's automatically revealed. Prabhupada said you don't even have to read the books. I heard a lecture like that. Even if you don't know how to read, but if you just chant Hare Krishna, but you have to chant affectionately, everything will be revealed. No difficulty, no bewilderment. This material nature is what bewildered us. It's what's bewildering. If we don't understand something, it's because we're covered over. But if we affectionately apply ourselves, then everything is revealed automatically. No speculation, no, you know, desires for anything else other than wanting to serve. I think I've gone over time. I'm sorry. I can... Srila Prabhupada ki jai.